The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, NXT Review.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Wrestling to the Max NXT Review. This one is for August 30th, 2017. And of course, we are brought to you by W2Mnet.com. That's right, the place where you go find all our great content and a lot more. Hey, and make sure you go subscribe at Wrestling to the Max. That'll, of course, get you everything. And, you know, it's a one-stop shop. Maybe you could roll... Go ahead and rate, you know, maybe send 5 stars our way, maybe let people know about the show. That'd be awesome. It gives us some, you know, more people to be able to see what we're doing here. And also when you comment, we get to know what you guys think about the show. We'd appreciate you do all that. And, you know, it just like, once again, it gives us a little bit of help. Hey, and don't forget, we are also brought to you by 411mania.com as well as Last Word on Pro Wrestling. That's right. That's the .com that you need to go to find those guys. And we appreciate all of you who have already done that. Of course, I am Gary Vaughn. Along with me is your host, Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And Paul, we are in for another edition of NXT that I'm kind of excited about talking about because we're getting some progression. We're kind of moving past, you know, TakeOver Brooklyn 3 and all that. So this is kind of the beginning, if you will say.
I absolutely agree with you because we are back in full sail. We're back to continuing forward all of the great stories that they started at NXT TakeOver. And that's namely, what the heck is going on with Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly walking around NXT. And we don't have to wait long because we open up to a scene of Sanity and a bunch of security guards all laid out in the back of the building. If I remember correctly, Alexander Wolf is like laid out in front of a van or something like that. And the camera kind of catches Cole and O'Reilly and Fish walking off into the dark and maybe going to some of the what feels like the seedier elements, maybe a Full Sail University, even though it's on a college campus. That seedy is not the word at all, but it certainly feels that way. I thought that was kind of cool.
I think it's very cool. And, you know, once again, it makes a huge statement to me, right? I mean, I don't know what they're calling this faction. I don't know if you've heard anything or any name for them besides, you know, Team Ring of Honor, which is not going to happen. But anyway, my point being, they go and attack the biggest dogs in the yard, at least right. When it comes to the faction business in NXT. And I think it's a really interesting move. I think it's an important move for them to be stamped on to this NXT and showcasing that they are the biggest, baddest team to worry about. And, you know, I think it's really cool. Now, am I happy per se about it? I'll be honest with you, Paul. Not really completely excited about the fact that Sanity doesn't look strong here. And they are all laid out by, let's be honest, 3 guys that aren't exactly the biggest guys, right? These guys... I don't know. They're not exactly the biggest muscle-bound guys on the roster in basically any wrestling promotion, but still, I think the intelligent part comes into play. They outsmarted Sanity and made this happen. But I still, you know, I kind of worry, Paul. We've talked about this in the past with Sanity. They're very much a roller coaster. They're either really awesome or they're really down in the dumps. Mm-hmm. It's kind of that path they continue on.
Yeah, they're not... They're never leveled out, right? They're either super, super strong, like Gary was talking about when they first showed up, or whenever they were, you know, in the midst of feuding with Ty Dillinger, very much a low point for them because they lost literally all the time. So I didn't mind this so much. You have the new guys that you're trying to make look like they're going to be a big factor. I think everybody knows Sanity is a big factor in NXT, and them sort of jumping in on this. One continues what they started in NXT, right, with Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly attacking those gentlemen after they won the titles. And it also sort of almost paints a picture that maybe this is going to be like almost a sort of pseudo-invasion storyline where Adam Cole and Red Dragon essentially aren't going to really care whether you're a good guy or a bad guy or a middle guy or the guy. or whatever kind of guy you want to be, they're going to beat you up if you're not on their side. And I think that is a very interesting twist to take on this because, I mean, as far as NXT history goes, you don't really have a quote-unquote invasion storyline that they've ever done. And if that is the route they're going here, I'm actually really, really excited to see where we are maybe come October, December, you know, the winter months and just how hot this place could get.
I totally agree with you. And I, once again, I don't know what the name of this faction is or what it could be. Mm-hmm. I know, once again, I joke, but they're not going to call it Ring of Honor or anything. They're going to kind of, they may poke at it a little bit. I could see them saying something about, you know, the ring, or maybe call it, you know, the honor or something, you know, that way that they kind of poke at Ring of Honor, but not at the same time do it with, you know, basically spelling it out. So saying all that, there are multiple guys. You've mentioned this in the past. There are multiple guys coming in from Ring of Honor. You got Leo Rush is showing up on the scene soon. You've also got Dynamo Dijak coming up here. Mm-hmm. And who knows, you know, in the near future, they may even sign somebody else from Ring of Honor that we're not even thinking of. And though, you know, with the guys we know right now, there's five eligible guys to be a part of this faction that could pretty much take over this entire main promotion, pretty much. I mean, really, the only thing they're missing is maybe a women's champion. And, you know, maybe they find some way around that. Maybe they find one of the current NXT stars in the women's division to kind of join in. That way they could try to do what I've always wanted Sanity to do and take all the titles. Mm-hmm. That's what I've always wanted to see with Sanity. If Sanity's not going to do it, I'm okay with these guys doing it. I love Red Dragon. Been a big fan of theirs forever. If they're the tag champs in NXT and Adam Cole becomes the world heavyweight champion for NXT, heck, I'm game. I love all those guys. So it's going to be interesting. I'm excited like you are. I think this is something that's going to be special if they do it the right way. And I think NXT is the one promotion I kind of trust to do it the right way.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you on that front just because they've already made these guys feel like a very serious threat. And they did that at the beginning of the original Invasion storyline back in 2001 WWE, and then it just sort of fizzled out. So I think if maybe it's a short-term thing, maybe no longer than 6 months, you probably have a pretty solid story on your hands here to go with.
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing about this, Paul. You're kind of going back in time when we're talking about, you know, the WCW Invasion, right? Mm-hmm. Well, all the biggest stars from WCW were not there. Mm-hmm. We had a couple big stars, but we really didn't have the bigger stars. You know, Bill Goldberg didn't come. You didn't have Sting come. I mean, you have a laundry list of big names from WCW at the time that did not make the trip over. And that kind of affected the Invasion. At least for me personally, I was a huge WCW fan at the time. I you know, I was really looking forward to those big matchups. It never happened for me. This is a different story. Right now where we sit, I just bragged on them, and I'm going to brag on them again. All the guys that are already involved in this faction, I'm a fan of. They're the top-notch guys that could come over and do something special, and they'll add some more. So I think this is different. I think this Invasion has a lot more opportunities compared to the WCW Invasion in 2001.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right on point. And there's another guy we could even end the conversation here who's in the next segment. Easy enough for me to say. Drew McIntyre comes out. He is, of course, your new NXT champion. Comes out talking about how everything he sacrificed along the way for his dream of being a champion of this caliber has finally come true. 17 years, culmination, all that great stuff. He calls out everybody in the locker room and specifically names the three gentlemen we were just talking about, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish. And if they all want a shot, they're on notice. You just got to step up and ask them like a man. And this brings out Roderick Strong, who is dressed to fight, of course, because tonight he's having that big match with Bobby Roode. And Roddy basically steps up, says, "Hey, man, after I finish off Bobby Roode tonight, I want to fight you. And I'm doing this exactly like you just spelled it out." And McIntyre loves it. And this very well could be a takeover main event down the road. And I might jump to the end here just so we can talk about all of this in one go. Bobby Roode, Roderick Strong, one-on-one. First off, this match gets a lot of time. They go almost 16 minutes. This match is absolutely incredible. One of the best I've seen all week. Roderick Strong ends up pulling out the win with two ends of heartache. back-to-back to send Bobby Roode packing. He gets his big win, and McIntyre shows up at the top of the ramp to sort of hold up the belt and basically tell Roderick, you know, he sees what he just did. It's time to, for them to have their big fight. However, here comes Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish. They lay out McIntyre. Roderick does nothing, which may or may not mean something. And here comes security and William Regal, who basically chases him off like he's an old man trying to get kids off the lawn. I was laughing so hard going into the end credit scene for NXT.
Yes, I love that. That was, oh my God, it was hilarious. But, you know, that's something that's, you know, kind of fun when it comes to, you know, we got William Regal and guys like that, just very stoic and doing, so I appreciate that. Hey, okay, so I think, you know, I want to start out with basically the little promo here. You know, McIntyre has come a long way. Mm-hmm. A long way since his early days with WWE, and when it comes to being on the microphone, and I think he's a great champion just by the way he speaks. You believe it, you feel it, you feel like that the NXT championship is important. That's great. That's what we need, and so I'm very excited about that. I like the fact that, you know, he's ready to take on anybody, and then you throw in the one guy that honestly was up for that championship, Roderick Strong. It's common sense and makes all, I think, the fans kind of get giddy because we know Roderick Strong and McIntyre are going to have a great match whenever they take on each other, right? We've already seen it once, and it didn't get finished because, well, Bobby Roode screwed it up. Mm-hmm. And I think once we actually get to see that matchup without Bobby Roode getting involved, it's going to be a lot more fun. I think it's going to be an even better match. So that's what's exciting about that, when they did that whole promo and you knew Roderick was coming out. So with all that being said, I think they did a good job here. I think it needed to be done. We needed to establish who the champion is, what he's about, especially for the folks watching NXT that didn't follow him around in the indies, didn't follow him over to Global Force Wrestling, or actually at the time it was Impact Wrestling. So I think this is really well done. I think they needed to do it. Okay, so we move on to that amazing match. You're not wrong. I thoroughly love this match. And I'll be honest with you, Paul, I was waiting pretty much all day to find out what you thought about this, because I was kind of concerned I was giving it too much credit. I really felt like, Gary, you're just saying this because it's Bobby Roode, it's Roderick Strong, you're just putting in your fandom here. It's not. I really feel like it was good. I was really happy to watch it and to see the way that they finished it out with Roderick Strong coming out looking really good. I was really thrilled and excited for him and, of course, for this match. So I'm glad to hear that you enjoyed it as much as I did, because I was really getting fearful that I was just being a super fan, or as they say, Mark, for this match.
Yeah, I got no problem with saying this is absolutely one of the best matches I've seen all week. We'll talk about another one on our actual main Wrestling to the Max episode 262 part 2 later on today, from Lucha Underground, which was another absolutely phenomenal main event.
Oh my God, yes. Oh, I can't wait. You have to tune in for that show, people. Trust me, do not miss it. Come and check us out. You got to hear that conversation. So, yeah, but and to kind of talk about the ending here with, you know, the guys, I want them to have a faction name so I could just say the faction name instead of saying, oh, these three guys. With Adam Cole and company attacking, you know, McIntyre here, I think, once again, they're showcasing they are the big dogs. They don't care who you are or what you're about, but they are coming for the gold. It's apparent they're attacking the champions. I haven't seen them really start attacking other people for the most part from what they're showing us. It's about who needs to be put down, and those are the people that are at the top. So I love this statement, and they cap off the night with it. And, hey, it makes you want to watch more. I cannot wait for next week's NXT. I really, really can't, because I want to see Adam Cole get on the mic and say, hey, you saw what we did. Now let me tell you what we did and why we did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we still don't know exactly why they're here other than to wreck shop, which, honest to God, works for me. But if they have some bigger plan, bigger scheme at play, I'm ready to hear it. But I would not be shocked at all if this gets teased out until, you know, maybe next month sometime, just to keep people guessing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think you're right. I think they'll keep us guessing, and they'll keep us wanting more, just like they got us wanting more now.
Mm-hmm. So cutting back to the start of the show here, Mauro Ranallo addresses Asuka's injury once again and says she's going to be on NXT next week to give an update on her future. We already know what that's going to be, but now we get to actually see it, which I'm kind of excited to see how all that goes down. And then that leads us into Ruby Riott taking on Peyton Royce, who, of course, has been feuding with the Iconic duo over basically just being in the background of their makeup tutorial video, which they did not approve of. And since then, Ruby Riott, of course, has beaten Billie Kay, and that's led to this match. And what we get here is really one heck of an encounter, if you ask me. Everything looked great here. The crowd was super invested. I thought Peyton and Ruby had great chemistry together, and it all worked out. And that leads us to the finish here, where Billy pulls Peyton out of the ring after she's about to get pinned. Ruby ends up diving on both of them, and this sort of leads to a bit of a distraction on Peyton's part, so Billy can just absolutely floor Ruby with one of the biggest Yakuza kicks I think I've ever seen in my life, and rolls her back in. Royce hits the Fisherman Suplex, and that's all she wrote. So might be time for Ruby Riott to go try to find some backup.
I think so. It's apparent that the Iconic duo are too much to handle. Mm-hmm. And I think it's apparent, and of course, you know, even on the mic, they're too much to handle at times. They're funny, and honestly, they're very entertaining. I wasn't using that as a negative. That's more of a positive, because, you know, honestly, probably the most charismatic, I think, that we have in that division. I'm trying to think of who else is more charismatic in this NXT women's division than Billie Kay and Peyton Royce. So that's what's great about it, and I really appreciated the way this match unfolded, because for a long time there, you really had the feeling that, you know, Ruby Riott's got this in control, and she's going to take this and, you know, make them, you know, be angry and come back and try to attack her again. And it's not the way it worked out. It's just, you know, once again, like you said, it's apparent that she's going to need that second person, that backup. And I'm really curious who that's going to be. I think there's a decent list of people that they could be, but I'm really curious who they're going to choose for that role. But, I mean, I'm enjoying this. I think the Iconic duo are doing something that honestly may not be very hard to write. I mean, this is kind of the classic bullies versus, you know, artist, or, you know, it's kind of like an 80s movie or something, right? The big bullies are beating up on or are picking on the person who's kind of goth or just dresses a different way. And that's it's something so simple, but it's still entertaining and very interesting, and you're getting good matches out of it too. So I can't complain about any of this, Paul. I'm sorry. I just, there's nothing related to say it's terrible or bad, and it's good. And now I'm not also pushing it to the moon and saying this is the best thing I've seen, you know, in years. But it's a good story, and overall, it's very well rounded.
Yeah, it's a very enjoyable storyline. It's simple, which is part of the charm. The Iconic duo are great. I just kind of wish we might hear from Ruby sooner or later. And obviously, with this loss, I'm assuming that's in the works as she attempts to find a tag team partner, maybe to go toe-to-toe with the Iconic duo in a tag team match, or just somebody to watch her back. So, interesting stuff there. William Regal is backstage talking about the attack on Sanity. Cassius Ohno shows up, and he wants another match with Itami. And Regal says, you know what, you can have him next week. And Cassius is like, great, but I want it to be no DQ. And Regal's like, all right, go out there and kill each other for all I care. So... and then we get a Heavy Machinery video package that leads into them squashing two dudes. And basically, I didn't find the squash particularly great. I didn't find it bad. It was just what it was. And I like Heavy Machinery. I kind of want to see him in a tag team feud. But if Dusty Rhodes Classic is around the corner for NXT, then maybe you just keep building up tag teams so that way you have some extra horses in the race to get behind outside of maybe Sanity or Red Dragon, or if the AOP is still around, those guys, or however this is going to work out.
Yeah, and you're right. If they are building towards that, it's definitely an important time for them to start doing that. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, this match is what you need. You just need to go out there and see Heavy Machinery. That's all they got to do. It's what they need to do. I'm very entertained by Heavy Machinery. I think that some of the things that they do in the ring are kind of funny. They're kind of exciting. We talk about this all the time. They just remind me of an 80s throwback, and they're hilarious. But also at the same time, they're just a well-oiled machine, I feel like. I think that they've gotten down this chemistry pretty well between them, and it feels like something that, you know, I honestly feel like it could go really far in a tournament, or just really far, at least for the chase for the tag title. So I'm thrilled about the, you know, the Heavy Machinery. I really think that this match was just, you know, a way to put a little shine on him, make him look good, you know, keep people interested and make sure people don't forget about him. So I'm happy with all that, you know, overall. But yeah, this was just a squash pretty much all. I do want to, you know, kind of quickly mention here, I think that Hideo Itami is, you know, one of those guys that I'm really kind of curious still how he will evolve, how you know, we're going to see him come up here and how he's going to react, especially, you know, after coming off a big loss like he did against Black. But I think, you know, we're still going to get some good things out of him. And I definitely think when, you know, he faces, you know, I'm trying to think of his name. I want to call him Chris Hero, and it's not his name.
Cassius Ohno.
Cassius Ohno, thank you. I don't know why. Sometimes I get so confused between those names. Chris Hero is such a better name. Cassius Ohno, in that whole situation, it got kind of weird. It got, to me, to be a little corny, and it was never really strong. I think now that we've had a break from it, I feel like it could get good. I feel like that they can come back into this a little fresher and throw a little bit more salt on the wound and really make us care. I think this is the perfect opportunity. I think Cassius Ohno and him are just going to have some, you know, pretty awesome matches. I don't think it's just going to be one. I think they're going to have multiple. And I think it's going to be something that is just so much more better than we saw before. I think that maybe little time away has made our hearts grow fonder of what this could be. So I'm looking forward to it. I, you know, maybe, you know, a month ago you'd have told me that I was looking forward to it, I'd be, you're crazy. There's no way. I hated it. It was kind of something I just never wanted to talk about, really. But now I kind of have a little bit more, I guess, positive outlook on that whole feud.
I've been interested in this the entire time. I wouldn't call it compelling television, but just the idea of these two hooking it up in the ring always just sort of kept me wanting to see what was going to happen. And now maybe in a NXT weekly main event in a no DQ setting, they might get a lot of time and they're able to tell a great story and have this great match. And it's really something both guys need at this point. Hideo has taken some big losses. Ohno, I still think, is really trying to get out of the starting blocks because, I mean, he came out and instantly challenged for the NXT title against Bobby Roode, and that didn't go well for him. And it's just sort of been wait and see almost with Cassius every week. So seeing how this plays out next week could be very, very interesting.
I'm ready. I want to see it. I want them to prove me wrong about my opinions about some of the stuff I didn't care for. I know you've definitely talked about how you're okay with it, but some of the stuff I personally just was not a fan of. So I want them to prove me wrong.
Yeah, me too. I want them to prove everybody wrong. So we cut backstage to our last segment here. We really have to talk about Lars Sullivan meets with William Regal after we get some highlights of what Lars did to No Way Jose at TakeOver. And Regal says, you know what? You went through three guys in your attempt to make a tag team. So next week, you're going to face three men in a handicap match. And Lars looks initially a little angry and then just sort of turns around and starts smiling. So prepare three body bags for next week, Gary. We might need them.
Yeah, I definitely think you're right. Yeah. And, you know, I don't think you need to call CSI or anyone else. NCIS, you guys can stay at home. It's going to be very clear and apparent who the victims are going to be. And it won't be anybody we know their names.
Exactly. So.
Their names will be stated at the beginning, and that's the last you'll hear from them for a while. So, but yes, the assailant, I think you're gonna love. I love him. Lars is one of those guys. He's just such a powerhouse. Now, I want to make this comment to you, Paul, and I really never thought about it. Really, I guess never paid attention. I don't know how big William Regal is. But it kind of undersold a little bit of Lars to me, because when I saw him standing up to William Regal next to him, face to face, I was like, wow, he's not very much taller than William Regal. And he didn't look much more jacked or anything. I don't know. I thought it was kind of funny, but William Regal is also not a tiny guy. I mean, he is a former wrestler, so we're talking about an athlete, and I'm William Regal's in great shape too, I'm sure. So, needless to say, I was a little bit taken aback from that. I was like, wow, this guy is not as tall as I always did. I think, you know, when I see him on, you know, regular episodes of NXT out in the ring, I'd look at him like he's like 7.5, you know, 7'4" or something like that, and he's really not that tall.
Lars is billed at 6'3" height wise. And the thing that's impressive about Lars to me is just his size, not height, width, and muscle and all that other great stuff. William Regal, according to Cage Match, is 6'2", so not a ton of height difference there as far as, I guess, what's billed. But for me, Lars, I mean, Lars is just a scary, scary human being to look at, even if he's not 12 feet tall, you know?
Trust me, if I saw that guy somewhere, anywhere, I would be nervous.
I ain't talking
about it. I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah. I'd just be like, hi, sir. Yes, what would you like? I'll take care of it. Don't hurt, you know? So next time he's at Barnes & Noble, he knows how to get a free book out of me.
Yeah. No need to shake hands either. I like my hands where they are.
Yes. I can't wait till next week, though, to see him victimize these three guys. It's going to be fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you got that set next week. You got that no DQ match set next week. You got Asuka's thing next week. And then they also advertise Cesaro Bononi taking on Andrade C and Almas once again. So lots of stuff to look forward to next week. But that does it for this week's episode of NXT, Gary.
Yeah, for sure. And until we get a chance to talk about that amazing show that they have set up for us next week, we are done. And once again, hey, to go find all our great content, once again, don't forget to go search out Wrestling to the Max wherever you get your podcast from. Maybe it's YouTube. Heck, maybe it's Apple Podcasts or any other place. Go rate, review, and subscribe. It just, once again, helps us out, lets people see us. And, of course, we get to see your feedback on what you think about the show. All that great stuff. Mm-hmm. Of course, once again, many props and thank yous to FormulaOneMania.com as well as LastWordOnProWrestling.com. We appreciate both of them. They help us out and, of course, share the message along with us. So there you go. Paul and I mentioned earlier, our normal episodes of Wrestling to the Max are also out there for you guys to go find. Of course, the one we'll be recording tonight, which will be available Friday morning on the download for you guys, is Episode 262, Part 2. We're going to have a lot of fun on that show. We've got some wrestling news to talk about that's going to be really good. Plus, we are also getting into some Lucha Underground stuff that's amazing, as well as talking Global Force Wrestling Impact. So great stuff coming your way from all that. And, you know, until next time, guys, we will see you guys down the road.
Have a good one, everybody.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.